Berger swore when she got back to where she had parked her BMW the night before. The car was still there, but during the night, some bastard had punctured all four tyres. "Goddamn fucking piss rats," she fumed. She called the vehicle recovery service, told them that she did not have time to wait and put the key in the exhaust pipe. Then she went down to Hornsgarten and hailed a taxi. Lisbeth Salander logged on to Hacker Republic and saw that Plague was online. She pinged him.
"Hi, Wasp. How's Solgrenska?"
"Restful. I need your help."
"Shoot."
"I never thought I'd have to ask this."
"It must be serious."
"Göran Mortensen, living in Vällingby. I need access to his computer."
"Okay."
"Everything on it has to be copied to Blomqvist at Millennium."
"I'll deal with it."
"Big Brother is bugging Blomqvist's phone and probably his email. You'll have to send the material to a Hotmail address."
"Okay."
"If I can't be reached for any reason, Blomqvist is going to need your help. He has to be able to contact you."
"Oh?"
"He's a bit square, but you can trust him."
"Hmm."
"How much do you want?"
Plague went quiet for a few seconds. "Does this have something to do with your situation?"
"Yes."
"Then I'll do it for nothing."
"Thanks, but I always pay my debts. I'm going to need your help all the way to the trial. I'll send you 30,000.
"Can you afford it?"
"I can."
"Then okay."
"I think we're going to need Trinity too. Can you persuade him to come to Sweden?"
"To do what?"
"What he's best at." "I'll pay him a standard fee plus expenses."
"Okay. What is this job?" She explained what she needed to have done. On Friday morning, Jonasson was faced with an obviously irritated Inspector Faster on the other side of his desk.
"I don't understand this," Faster said. "I thought Salander had recovered. I come to Göteborg for two reasons, to interview her and to get her ready to be transferred to a cell in Stockholm where she belongs."
"I'm sorry for your wasted journey," Jonasson said. "I'd be glad to discharge her because we certainly don't have any beds to spare here, but..."
"Could she be faking?"
Jonasson smiled politely. "I really don't think so. You see, Lisbeth Salander was shot in the head. I removed a bullet from her brain and it was 50-50 whether she would survive. She did survive and her prognosis has been exceedingly satisfactory, so much so that my colleagues and I were getting ready to discharge her. Then yesterday she had a setback. She complained of severe headaches and developed a fever that has been fluctuating up and down. Last night she had a temperature of 100 and vomited on two occasions. During the night the fever subsided. She was almost back down to normal, and I thought the episode had passed. But when I examined her this morning, her temperature had gone up to over 102. That is serious."
"So what's wrong with her?"
"I don't know. But the fact that her temperature is fluctuating indicates that it's not flu or any other viral infection. Exactly what's causing it, I can't say. It could be something as simple as an allergy to her medication or to something else she's come into contact with." He clicked on an image on his computer and turned the screen towards Faster. "I had a cranial X-ray done. There's a darker area here, as you can see, right next to her gunshot wound. I can't determine what it is. It could be scar tissue as a product of the healing process, but it could also be a minor hemorrhage. And until we found out what's wrong, I can't release her, no matter how urgent it may be from a police point of view." Faster knew better than to argue with a doctor, since they were the closest things to God's representatives here on Earth. Policemen possibly accepted.
"What is going to happen now?"
"I've ordered complete bed rest and put her physical therapy on hold. She needs therapeutic exercise because of the wounds in her shoulder and hip."
"Understood. I'll have to call Prosecutor Ekström in Stockholm. This will come as a bit of a surprise. What can I tell him?"
2 days ago, I was ready to approve a discharge, possibly for the end of this week. As the situation is now, it will take longer. You'll have to prepare him for the fact that probably I won't be in a position to make a decision in the coming week, and that it might be 2 weeks before you can move her to Stockholm. It depends on her rate of recovery."
"The trial has been set for July."
"Barring the unforeseen, she shall be on her feet well before then." Boblansky cast a sceptical glance at the muscular woman on the other side of the table. They were drinking coffee in the outdoor area of a cafe on Norr Mellestrand. It was Friday, May 20th, and the warmth of summer was in the air. "Inspector Monica Figueroa," her ID said. SIS. She had caught up with him just as he was leaving for home and suggested a conversation over a cup of coffee.
At first he had been surly, but she had very straightforwardly conceded that she had no authority to interview him, and that he was perfectly free to tell her nothing at all if he did not want to. He asked her what her business was, and she told him that she had been assigned by her boss to form an unofficial picture of what was true and not true in the so-called Zalichenko case, also known in some quarters as the Salander case.
"What would you like to know?" Boblansky said at last.
"Tell me what you know about Salander, Mikhail Blomqvist, Gunnar Bjork, and Zalichenko. How do the pieces fit together?"
They talked for more than 2 hours.